Radio MD. RadioMD.com. From sobriety to self-care, it's Rewired Radio. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Mental health issues can be extremely isolating and challenging. After being diagnosed, people sometimes feel shame and are likely to isolate or feel completely alone. Humans are really social beings, and we need to connect with others to fully thrive. But current mental health treatment programs often neglect the social and cultural aspects of mental health recovery. This continued isolation can be detrimental, and my guest today, Dr. Ross Ellenhorn, is working to bring connectedness back to the mental health treatment community. He is at the forefront of the integrated care movement, and his company, Prakash Ellenhorn, helps individuals suffering psychiatric symptoms find the psychological and social means for remaining outside the hospital. Just as those on the road to recovery feel apprehension about reengaging with society, those who are being treated for mental health issues may feel similar and unsure of how to reconnect with others. Dr. Ellenhorn is here to help us understand functional applications of connection and how community plays a pivotal role in the healing process. Dr. Ellenhorn, thank you so much for being with us and having this extremely important discussion.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So just to, you know, I know that you're a psychotherapist, you're a social worker, sociologist, and have been trained for decades in helping individuals kind of reconnect after they've been diagnosed. Can you just tell us a little bit about how your clinic and your company, how you began doing this?
Well, there is a model called the Program for Assertive Community Treatment or Assertive Community Treatment. And it's a model that's actually been around since the 1970s, where they shut down a hospital in Wisconsin, and they moved the staff and the clients into the community. And they discovered that those clients really didn't need a hospital around them. They just needed an intense enough program around them to help them integrate into the world. And so I used that model in the public sector, and then we moved that over into a private model. And that model really believes that 70% of what we do should be out of the office. So if you were to walk into our building, you'd actually see that there aren't a lot of people here because most of them are in their cars seeing people in their own places.
Mm-hmm.
And the model also believes that you should be really focusing on helping people, even who are experiencing severe symptoms and even people who are abusing substances. You should be continually focusing on them returning to work or school and making connections with people and reconnecting with their families. That is a very important part of treatment.
Mm-hmm. And is that reengagement because people have that contrast? They see themselves in a different light. They see what they're capable of doing. They see, you know, when you're so isolated, like just in a treatment center or a hospital or something like that, you don't really get to see how people react to you and so on.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of crazy. We have a system that doesn't really believe that purpose and connection is part of recovery.
Yeah.
And so you actually take people away from their sense of purpose and connection to get treatment, as if a person can reemerge and get better without those things in front of them. So we try to combine very good psychiatric treatment, very good pharmacology, with this focus on purpose and connection.
I think this is absolutely true, because you know, in the population I work with, a lot of people that are in recovery, you know, they really feel isolated for many years, decades even, you know, decades and decades, and then they, you know, they get clear, they get sober, they're present, they start to begin their life again, and really feel like there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of secrets and hiding that they've had to go through. So how do you help, or your staff, or how do you guys go about really helping people understand that you can begin anew, there is hope, and that you can reestablish yourself kind of like with a new identity of sorts?
Right. It's a very good question, because what we believe we're working with mostly when we're talking about motivation is not often the effects of the psychiatric symptoms the person is having, but actually their loss of hope and their fear of hope, their fear of trying again and being disappointed. We think of our clients as people that have actually been traumatized by significant disappointment, sense of life didn't go the way they had thought it would go, and this loss of that dream. Mm-hmm. And so all our treatment is actually based on them coming up with an idea of what they want in their life, where they want to go, and then thinking about the barriers and also the strength to get them to that thing. So we're very interested in symptom reduction, but we believe we want to remove those symptoms to get them to their dream, not just for the fact of getting rid of the symptoms. So our conversations are really about where do they want to go, and then what do we need to get out of the way in that process. So it's not a very diagnostic conversation, like you have this illness and we're going to cure it, or we're going to fix it. It's much more about how do we slowly help you get there. And for some of our clients, that requires also that we don't dream too big, because we have to really kind of help them learn that they can trust life again, that they can have faith in themselves, and that it's okay to hope. And sometimes saying we're going to get you back to college is actually a scary dream for them, because it really represents like this massive disappointment that can happen again. So maybe what we're doing is actually helping them live on their own for the first time, get an apartment, and decorate that apartment, and then feed themselves on their own, and just feel like they can master their lives a bit on the way to this larger dream.
Right. Yeah, and it is all about kind of just, you know, laying down the cement for positive movement moving forward. And I think what's wonderful is that, you know, when I talked to you earlier, you were explaining to me a little bit about how your staff is hands-on, which I think is such a wonderful detail to people reemerging, because sometimes someone needs their hand held a little bit, and there's nothing wrong with that extra help. So can you tell our audience a little bit about how that has come to be and how you've seen that be a successful addition to your treatment?
Yeah, let me give you an example of somebody who both has a psychiatric diagnosis and has an issue with substances. So this gentleman is in school and on his way to a degree, and he started drinking again without telling us in the program, and then finally told us that he'd been drinking, and, you know, we felt for him to quit. He needed to get a detox, of course, to just make sure he was safe while we treated him again. Now, the typical protocol after that detox would have him go to an IOP, an outpatient day program.
Right.
And probably not go back to school, because you need to go to, you know, the idea would be, well, you have to deal with your issues first before you go to school. You need to take care of your sobriety first.
Right.
But we actually felt like the best bet towards his sobriety was to get him back to school. And that meant hands-on. That meant driving him at first. That meant waiting for when there were lunch breaks to check in with him to see how he was. And that meant seeing him after school and kind of keeping him in. So we felt like school was better treatment than a day program or getting treatment in that kind of way. And that's very hands-on. But it's hands-on by licensed clinicians, not people who have little understanding of how to kind of coach and help a person.
Right. And I totally agree that it's such an effective way of actually getting somebody to see that, you know, there's a little bit of an extra addition to somebody actually holding you accountable as well. You know, it's not like you're just out there floating around. And the accountability factor for me and my clients, I see people really successful when they are held accountable in a really, you know, loving and healthy way, where I'm assuming they develop those relationships with your staff members and build a lot of trust. So that's really incredible.
Right. I mean, relationships are really what, when it comes down to it in our field, relationships are really what is the cure. I mean, that's what my staff are sort of trained in, how to build collaborative relationships with the client.
That's so fantastic. Well, can you tell the audience where they could find you and your website or any other info that you want to give?
Sure. The website is Prakash, P-R-A-K-A-S-H, Ellenhorn, ELLENHORN.com. And our 800 number is 800-515-9972.
That's wonderful. And you have a book, correct?
Yes, I wrote a book years back on people who repeatedly go in the hospital.
Okay, well, we can get to that. Thank you, Dr. Ellenhorn, for this conversation. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you so much for joining us, and stay well.